You're listening to Baking to the B-Movies with Ashley and Steph, broadcasting from the woods of Western Massachusetts. They're here to talk about the beautiful, the gory, the nonsensical, and of course, mostly bad horror filmmaking that we all know and love, while creating recipes inspired by these wonderful abominations. You can follow Baking to the B-Movies on Instagram, at Baking to the B-Movies, and on Twitter, at Baking to B Movies. These ladies dig deep into these movies, and some of the topics covered are disturbing. So this is your spoiler warning and explicit content warning. Listener discretion is advised. Now onward to good food, good friends, and movies so bad they literally cannot stop talking about them.
Welcome back to Baking to the B-Movies. My name is Ashley.
My name is Steph.
Thank you all so much for being here with us today. We truly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, be sure to like, subscribe, smash that follow button. Give us 5-star ratings because we've deserved it.
Hell yeah.
You can reach us directly at Gmail at bakingtothebmovies@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at bakingtothebmovies. And then if you need to catch up on any of our episodes, past, present, and, you know, wait for future ones to drop, we recommend checking out the RSS feed that is linked in our social media profile. It is an archive of all of our episodes from the very first one up until now. Steph, how are you?
Excellent. I'm doing good.
Crushing
how are you?
It. Right? I'm doing good. We are in the dog days of summer.
The throes of summer
while we are recording this. It's so funny, too, because like it was beautiful out yesterday. It's absolutely gorgeous out today. And similar to when we had the first not rainy Saturday in like 14 weeks, we are inside recording this
nonsense. I love it.
Oh, my God. How's your summer going?
It's going hot.
humid,
but as a whole, pretty good. Yeah,
farming, working, oh, yeah. All that good stuff.
Yeah,
all same.
You know, not, all the
not,
same shit.
I'm not doing the farming, but I am working. And
yeah, obviously.
I'm trying to like take day trips when I can.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to waste my summer just at my office or working remotely.
Yeah. So or in your house. Or
yeah.
Apartment.
So I've been like, you know, I've been taking like a couple of day trips. Like I went down to Hyannis last weekend.
Right.
They had the hydrangea festival down at the Cape. So I haven't perfected the return trip, but I figured out that the best way, if you're going to spend a day trip on Cape Cod, which I highly recommend.
Yeah.
You get up at 5 and you be out the door by 6.
Yeah.
And you get over that bridge. Was it the Bourne Bridge? It's like the only.
I know the bridge, obviously, yeah. But I don't know exactly what the name of it is. I think it's the Bourne Bridge.
I think it's the Bourne Bridge.
I don't know. I'm going to have to reach out to Alyssa for that one.
Yeah. But you get to the Bourne Bridge and there's nobody else in sight because most people haven't even left yet. And then you get, like, I went to this coffee shop that I love in Hyannis. I'm going to give them a shout out. They're called the Mariner Cafe. They are incredible. And I got the tiramisu latte that is, like, big on social media right now because I really want it. It has a lady finger in it. Like, I love it.
Yeah. Not to be confused with a lady's finger.
Exactly. That would not be great. And then I went over to Sandwich, which is like 15, 20 minutes away.
So the best thing about Sandwich is their police force, because that's the actual Sandwich police.
It's the Sandwich police.
Like, it's the Sandwich police.
I love it. It's like, oh my God, I love Sandwich. And I love sandwiches, so it works out well.
Yes.
But I went over to this museum, and they had like this huge garden, and I was like one of the first people there, so I got to take like amazing photos of the hydrangeas. Mm. And then literally like did a loop around the grounds, and by the time I got back to where the trail started, it was like hundreds of people. So it was like perfectly planned.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
The only thing I haven't perfected is getting the fuck off of the Cape. Like,
yeah.
No matter what time, because there's really only one way on and
it's,
off.
It's that
Cape
bridge.
Cod. It's that fucking bridge. It's that one bridge.
Yeah.
And so I did the whole like hydrangea festival. I was like, great, this has been super fun. It's not really hot out yet. It's still like noon. It was so early. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here, like, before it gets crazy. Literally, like, pulled out of the museum in the garden and immediately bumper-to-bumper traffic for, like, 2 hours.
Right?
For some reason, everybody else had the same idea. Like, we're going to leave at noon. And the time before that...
That's the problem. You need to get out of the hive mind, Ashley. Yes.
Like, the time before that, when I went down to Yarmouthport.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, I left super early, but still hit traffic on the way there, because it wasn't early enough, evidently. And then I'm, like, getting ready to leave. I was like, I'm going to leave at, like, 3, because people will still be either on the beach or finishing up their plans for the day, and then I'm going to get the fuck out of here, and I'm going to, like, get over that bridge and just go home. And immediately, like, went to leave Yarmouthport and was, like, stuck in traffic for, like, 4 hours. There's no escape.
There's no escape of it. This past week, Andy and I went picking.
Nice.
And I didn't find anything because we were going to, like, antique shops, you know?
Yeah.
And we were looking for, well, I was looking for, like, glassware to basically pour candles into.
Yeah.
But with the prices of this shit, it still, like, blows my mind.
How much were they looking for?
Like, so you get, a jar, like, even, like, an old, like, I was looking for, like, old school, like, vintagey mason jars, you know?
Yeah.
Like, $4 a jar. You can buy them brand new at, like, $18 for a 12-pack.
Huh.
So it was just dumb, although we did see a lot of cool things. Yeah. Because I just love that shit.
I love a good antique,
but yeah,
antique day.
Yeah, but then it will just, the heat was just,
it's been,
bogged me down, and as soon as we got home, I'm like, I'm not doing shit.
We've been, so for anyone who isn't from the Northeast who's listening to this, we've been under a heat advisory for all week,
yeah.
And it just keeps getting extended, like, longer and longer.
I know.
Like, first it was like my phone was like heat advisory until, like, Tuesday at 8 p.m., and then it was like heat advisory until Wednesday at 6 p.m., and it was like heat advisor until Friday. Yeah. Like, it just kept getting worse and worse.
And we didn't really get any rain either.
Have you noticed, I don't know if it's just me, but, like, so I get, like, the weather alerts on my phone. If there's, like, severe weather, obviously. Yeah. I think everybody does. But
yeah.
I've been, like, keeping an eye, because, like, I love a good summer thunderstorm.
Agreed.
I love it. And we've only had fucking one.
Like, yeah.
We've had one where I am.
We've had, I think we have, like, at least two, but one of them was in the middle of the night.
To need to enjoy it, yeah.
And, well, it woke both me and Andy up when it was going off, because it was pretty intense. But, yeah, I was still in bed just trying to, like, sleep through it.
Well, like, so my weather alerts are, like, you know, a potential for severe thunderstorms.
And it's, like, every day, too.
And it's every day, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, I'm getting blue-balled by, by the weather app. I'm just, like, it's so
I don't know about you, but I know, like, when the storms come my way, they hit the Quabbin, and the Quabbin reservoir can either amp them up or kill them completely, and it seems to be doing more of a killing it, you know, or the storm just starts to track north or south of me,
so
we're getting, like, outskirt stuff, but nothing.
That's what's happening to me. So where I live is, like, it's, like, in the upper, like, northwestern part of Massachusetts. So I'm,
right.
If you drive, I've mentioned this before, but if you drive, like, 15 minutes north of my apartment, you're in Vermont.
Right.
And if you drive 25 minutes, you're in New Hampshire.
Right.
Like, I'm right there. I'm right on, like, the border of, like, two other states. And so I get a lot of, like, the fringe of storms that are rolling through that area, but it's never, like, fun. Like, it's, like, I love a good thunderstorm. And
I agree.
And I'm to the point now where I'm like, man, I would kill for a great tornado watch right about now. You know, like, those are fun.
I feel like the tornado watches I'm all set with. But
tornado watches, you're fine. Tornado warnings, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's
But, like, the thunderstorms, like, come on, man. Hit me hard.
What's the meme? It's like, tornado watches is you have all the ingredients to make a taco. Tornado warnings is the taco is actively being made.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Fantastic.
Oh, man. We had that one summer a few years ago where it was, like, legit. I think we were actually doing the podcast. I don't think one happened. I think the alert came, like, after we were done recording. But remember, like, that summer where it was, like, literally a tornado warning, like, every other day?
Yeah,
it was,
I think,
fucking
so.
Horrific.
It was terrible.
It was horrific. Yeah. Just, like, spending hours each weekend in a basement. Like, just, like, just, like, waiting for it to pass by.
You know, nothing bonds you better than trauma, I suppose.
Well, today's episode, and before
speaking of
trauma bonding, and where this particular movie takes place, you don't have to worry about tornado warnings, like, at all. You don't even have to worry about rain that much.
Or at all.
But before we do that, I just want to revisit. We had done Little Shop of Horrors for our last episode. Yep. You had made black bean tacos with that, like, lime cilantro sauce, the cream sauce.
The crema. Yes.
It was, they were amazing.
Thank you.
I didn't get a chance to say it during the last episode because we hadn't eaten them yet. But then we promptly ate them after we finished. And I was sad that there were not more because they were so good.
Yeah.
They were absolutely delicious.
They were pretty good.
That recipe is over on our Instagram for anybody who missed it and wants to check it out. Again, that's Baking to the Bee Movies over at Instagram. So, Steph, I'm really excited to talk about this movie. I haven't.
Same.
Because I hadn't watched it in years. I think, like, the last time I watched it was, like, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And it was just on, like, TBS one night. And I just, of course, so there's, like, a million commercials. But, you know, it's one of those movies that's really fun to sit down and watch.
It's so, fun.
I rewatched this. And it reignited my crush on one of the main actors in it who has been in so many great things and some not so great things.
Right.
We'll talk about that. No. But he's such, like, such a cool dude. Like, he's always been, like, such a chill,
cool dude. He's a very
cool
chill dude. Yeah.
So I was really excited to revisit this one. Do you want to tell the audience what we're talking about today?
Yes. So, speaking of trauma and heat, we're heading to Perfection, Nevada to search for the worm in Tremors, the OG original Tremors.
Yes, the 1991, an hour and 36 minutes. This movie stars my man, Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
I love Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
We also have Fred Ward, who has been in a lot of great things, but when he popped up on the screen, it happened like a couple years ago, but he was in I Think You Should Leave. He made an appearance in that.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's the fucking skit where Tim Robinson and the other guy, it's supposed to be like the scene in was it Walk the Line? With Joaquin Phoenix, who's playing Johnny Cash,
yeah.
when they're at the record studio, or the recording studio, and the guy's like telling them, like, you know, if you were like on death's doorstep or whatever, and you had one song to sing, what would you sing? And, you know, Joaquin Phoenix playing Johnny Cash does I forget the song. It's a good one, but it's like this super like intense, you know, like the guy's like, oh my god, this guy's got it. He's this guy has like the spark, and yeah. Johnny Cash gets signed. It's similar to that, but it's Fred Ward like telling them the same thing. He's like, nobody wants to listen to gospel music. Like if you had one chance to sing like one song, you're on your deathbed, and this is the song that you're going to be remembered for. What will it be? And the guy starts singing like something similar, but then Tim Robinson comes in and starts singing about like skeletons coming to life and shit. So funny. You said give him something spooky. No, he didn't. It's so funny. It's so goddamn funny. We have Finn Carter. Michael Gross, who plays one of like one of my favorite characters.
One of my favorite characters too.
And then
the great American sweetheart Reba McEntire.
Yes, who is fucking incredible.
Who
in this.
Is so
She's
good in this.
So good in this movie.
Totally strapped. Who else we got?
Well, we have, so I had asked you before we went on air, because I wanted to make sure, the little girl in this movie.
Yes.
Is it Mindy?
I believe.
Mindy is the little girl's name?
Yes, Ariana Richards.
Yes, Ariana Richards, who also probably better known for playing Ellie in the original Jurassic Park. Yeah, she popped up on the screen, I'm like, oh my god, is that Ellie? And similar to Jurassic Park, her ass almost gets eaten a whole bunch in this movie. So, like, yeah. She's really good at playing, like...
Right, but she doesn't, so
she
we're
doesn't.
Happy about
yeah.
that.
Spoiler, but...
Because she was probably, like, 8 or 9.
She's so,
so
cute.
She's cute.
She's so cute.
Hopping on her pogo stick.
The entire
Idiot.
Movie.
Surely that will not attract the worm.
Anybody else in this?
Well, yeah, there's a ton of people in this, but... but, you know, there's Charlotte, who is, Victor Wong playing Walter Chang.
Yes.
The grandfather from Three Ninjas.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of him, too. I think we could probably just get straight on into it.
Well, I do want to say during the opening credits, and I didn't realize this, Gail Ann Hurd is the executive producer, and that woman is fucking the queen. I love her.
She's a producer on every movie I watch.
She's
like
so good.
All of them. Like, she's really good at her job.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I, you know, I just know her from like The Walking, Dead and like her like her incredible work on The Walking Dead and how she kind of intervened to save that show.
Yeah. What's funny about it is I didn't really like, I wasn't aware of her until The Walking Dead, but now as soon as I was aware of her, then you see like her name on so many other things, movies and shows.
The same thing with Greg Nicotero. Like I didn't know who Greg Nicotero was until I was like got really into The Walking Dead, and I was like, my God, this guy, because he would like talk, he would show how like how he did like the practical effects. I'm like, this guy has the coolest fucking job on the planet.
And he's so good at it.
He's so good at it. And then you go back and you're watching things, and you're like, oh my God, Greg Nicotero is either in this or
Had some part of it making
it.
Like he was apprenticing under Tom Savini.
You know? So it's like, cool. So Galen Hurd, Greg Nicotero, like that whole, Frank Darabont, who I was familiar with
he's another one that's all over everything.
Yeah. And it's like everything.
And
that
everything
they do,
that he does is really good.
It's so good.
I mean, you can pretty much tell when The Walking Dead started going downhill when you get shoved out, essentially.
Because I think we had talked about this before, I think, but, like, I think Frank Darabont left The Walking Dead, I think, halfway
through season three.
It was, like, halfway through season three. And the rest of season three was good.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, season four, like, really suffered.
Tanked. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It started tanking.
Fucking Scott Gimple ruining everything. Fucking hate Scott. I have such a...
He, however, nobody gives two shits about.
I have such a grudge against Scott Gimple and what
you
he did.
You ruined the best show on TV.
I was going to say, man, literally one of the best shows ever, and he just came in and absolutely fucking destroyed it. Just made it unwatchable for years up until they got the new showrunner. And she was like, well, we're done with that bullshit, and now we're going to make it good again. And I forget her name.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. But she was great.
She
saved it. She fucking saved that show.
I don't think she saved it. I think it was already in the shitter when she got attached to it. But
she
did
what she could.
She did what she could.
She tried to salvage it.
She did.
All right. So now that I got that off my chest, something else I want to
platform soapboxes. I get it.
Something else I want to get off my chest before we get into this movie, and I said this off air. Kevin Bacon has been in so many great things, and I also mentioned that he has been in some things that haven't been good. The worst movie
You're
Kevin...
You're going to make so many enemies.
I'm going to make so many enemies right now.
I mean, I don't have any strong feelings towards this movie either or, so you go on.
So, one of the worst movies Kevin Bacon has ever been in. Unwatchable garbage. Unforgivable. Footloose is fucking terrible, you guys. Like, I just want to put it out there. Footloose is fucking terrible. I don't know anybody who's like, oh man, I need like a good feel-good movie. I'm going to watch Footloose. Like, it's so fucking bad.
I know somebody.
Oh God, who? Is it someone I know?
Yes.
Oh God, oh no.
It's fine. Everybody is entitled to their opinion.
It's so
like bad. I said, like, I don't have strong feeling towards it either way. Like, I don't really care. I'm like, whatever, it was a movie and it existed. And
I get angry when it comes on. I get, like,
so
mad.
All you have to do is turn it off.
Oh, okay. I turn it, but, like...
Like, you're not just sitting there like, oh, no, Footloose is on. I'm still going to watch it.
I almost slipped, like, in my kitchen once because I was doing dishes and I heard, like... I had the TV on in the background, and I heard something that sounded familiar, and when I glanced over my shoulder to look into, like, my little living room area, Footloose was on, and I turned so abruptly in my kitchen, and there had been a little bit of water on the floor that I almost fell and broke my neck trying to turn it on. Like, I fucking hate that movie.
Nice. Nice.
I just wanted to say that, and I'll tell you what, it feels great.
Ashley, if there's anything just weighing you down, like, just, like, on your chest, and you need to let it go... You just do that. Just don't drop names of people that, you know, you have wronged.
Well, then Andy has to censor it when I do.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing that I will say, and it goes without saying, Kevin Bacon is fine as hell in this movie.
See, I've never, like, found him attractive in any way.
I don't know, shape or form.
I just never did. I know a lot of people do.
Yeah, it's I definitely didn't find him attractive in Footloose, but this movie... This movie, he is fine as hell. I love me a good cowboy, like a good dirty-ass cowboy.
Dirty-ass cowboy. He's excellent in this.
He's so good in
this. Yeah, like, he doesn't look bad. He's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But.
So, this movie kicks off right away. We are introduced to Kevin Bacon's character, who's named Valentine.
Valentine.
Val for short.
Yeah, and Earl.
And Fred Ward's character, Earl. And they are essentially, like, the handyman... do everything guys in Perfection, Nevada, little desert town.
Right, to just give a little bit of backstory here. They're basically handymen. Essentially, they're meatheads. They're, like, lovable meatheads, you know? And they basically do odd jobs around this town. This town is super isolated.
Yes.
It's got a population of 14 people.
Yeah.
You know.
The dream.
Right? Put it anywhere else other than the desert, I am there. And there's, like, no cell surface. Like, they have mountains on one side. They have whatever else on the other side.
Like, that weird valley on the other.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing. So, anyways.
So Valentine and Earl, you know, they're essentially in this town with a population of 14. They're the guys who take care of everything. Mm-hmm. So they put up, like, the barbed wire around, like, cattle fields.
They do the plumbing,
electric work.
Septic work.
Yeah, septic work, cleanup. Like, they pick up the trash and stuff. And Valentine isn't really good at, like, preparing for the future, whereas Earl, like, is on a schedule. Like, he knows, like, on this date we have to do this, and then tomorrow we do this, and...
Right. When Earl's the adult.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, when they disagree on things, they resolve it with a good old-fashioned game of rock, paper, scissors.
Solid.
So it's like, you know, who's making breakfast today? Because I made it yesterday. No, you didn't. I made it yesterday. So they do rock, paper, scissors to resolve the matter, which is probably the best way to, resolve things. For those of you who aren't picking up on that, there is a cat who desperately wants to get into this room right now. Desperately wants in the studio. Probably a Footloose fan. Your cat probably likes it.
She probably wants to tear your face off.
Bring it.
I mean, you know, they're savage killers. Adorable savage killers.
So a lot of this work that they do, it's severely underpaid. Like, they're getting, like, $50 to, like, pick up garbage or,
trash,
like,
or something.
Yeah, or, like, clean
it's
up.
Not great.
And shit goes wrong constantly. Like, they're picking
up... 'Cause you live in the desert.
Yeah, like, they're picking up the trash and, like, the bags are ripping open. They're doing septic work and, like, the pipe isn't tight enough, so it goes all over the fucking place.
Sewage is just flying up at them, yeah.
We meet some of the other townspeople that they do these odd jobs for. So there is, like, one, like, convenience store / like gas station Walter Chang's, like, convenience store.
Yeah, it's basically a one-stop shop. It's kind of like a tiny, like, little grocery store, so you can get groceries there.
Yeah,
but also gas.
It's also, like, essentially, like, the town hangout spot. Like, everybody's always just, like, there.
It's also a bar, I think.
Yeah,
like, they have beer and stuff, and they just drink it there because it's 14 people. What are they going to do?
I was going to say, there's, like, no police presence.
Yeah, obviously, everybody knows that there is no police. They don't need police. They have 14 people, and all those 14 people are...
Know each other, and
know
they're friendly.
Know each other, and they're friendly, and there's no... Obviously, there's going to be no crime. They're all, like, decent people.
Yeah.
You know, so...
We have... Who's the annoying kid that just...
Melvin. I hate him.
He could not die soon enough.
I don't think he didn't die.
He didn't die, but, like, I was really hoping for it.
Rooting for it.
He was the fucking worst.
Yeah, he sucks. Unlike Mindy.
So Val and Earl kind of have this plan that they want to get out of Perfection. They've had enough. Like, they want to move towards something bigger and better and make more money. The big city of
Bixby.
Bixby.
I've seen this movie 1,000. I love this movie. Not once do they ever get to Bixby, and not once do they ever show what Bixby actually is. Like, is it a town a couple miles away that has a population of 25 people?
Yeah.
You know? Like, but they talk about it, and we have to assume, wow, the big city.
The big city of... not Las Vegas, which technically is the biggest city in Nevada, or Reno.
Yeah. Bixby is where it's at.
Bixby is the place to fucking be. but they wanna go to Bixby, and they wanna, like, start this new life and a legitimate business, and they wanna make money and just do more than what they're doing. Yeah.
They have aspirations.
And while they're out, like, kind of, you know, before they decide, like, let's get the hell out of here. Like, let's just throw everything we have in the back of this truck and just go. Mm-hmm. They run into, they're out running, like, their final errands. They run into Rhonda, who is played by Finn Carter.
So, yes, Rhonda is the grad student.
Yes.
She is, I don't know what college she's from, but they did talk about how they always have somebody over there doing, like, seismology stuff.
Yeah.
You know, measuring, like, the vibrations and shit in the ground.
Yeah.
So this is a new one.
Yeah, this is, like, a new, like, not a, she's a college grad. Or grad student.
Yeah, so grad student. I assume working on her master's.
Yeah. And so they're driving like on their way to run errands, and they see her out in the desert in her truck, and she's like taking readings or whatever. And Valentine decides like they're gonna go over and say hello because, you know, he's like, it's a college girl. Like, what, you know, this is exciting. And Val has a type, evidently.
Oh yeah. Hard type.
He has a type, and Earl gives him a hard time about it, but Val's type is like blonde, green eyes,
legs for days,
nice boobs, nice butt. And he's praying for that. Like, he's like, I hope. And they pull up, and Rhonda is none of those things, but she's cute.
She's adorable.
And Kevin Bacon's character, Val, makes this face when he sees her, and I'm like, dude, she's so cute.
Like the zinc on her nose. From like the sun and stuff. Yeah. So she's probably about our height.
Yeah.
She's like 5-something, brown hair. She's adorable.
She's so adorable.
She's super nice, but she's kind of nerdy.
Yeah, a little nerdy. And Val couldn't be more disappointed.
Yeah.
And Earl's like chatting her up, and she's talking about how she's there to, well, she asks, has anybody been like blasting in the area or like digging or any kind of weird construction work? Because like, I've been getting insane readings out here. Like,
yeah,
crazy readings.
Seismology.
Yeah, like crazy readings machine. That don't make a lot of sense.
Right.
And Earl offers, when they go back into town, he's like, I can ask if anybody has heard anything or seen anything, but as far as we know, like, nothing's been going on out here. And it's funny because out of the two, like, Val, who is a meathead, seems like, Earl asks her what something means, and Val, like, is like, oh, it's a seismic reader or whatever. Like, he explains it. So he kind of gets it, but not really.
He's trying.
Yeah. It's cute. They, you know, finish this last odd job that they're going to do, and they start throwing everything in the back of their blue pickup truck. Yeah. Because they finish their work. Now it's time to go to Bixby. Enough dicking around. Like, we got to go. But, of course, that doesn't happen. Because as they're getting ready to leave and go towards Bixby, like Thelma and Louise style in the truck, like, they're, like, holding hands. Like,
right.
They're all excited. They pass by, like, an electrical tower. And there's somebody, like, holding on to the top of it. And they recognize the coat as being one of the town drunks.
Edgar. His name's Edgar. He's perched at the top of the electrical tower, obviously holding what appears to be a rifle.
Yes. So they, you know, they stop because they realize that Edgar, who is, again, the town drunk, has probably gotten himself stuck up there. He's probably, like, passed out up there.
Yeah.
And they do the rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to go up and get him.
Yeah.
And Val, unfortunately, loses. And he starts climbing up about, you know, just trying to get to Bixby, and I got to stop and, like, get your drunk ass out of here. And when he gets up there, Edgar is dead.
He's super dead. Like, wicked dead. Yeah. For, like, a couple of days, even.
Yeah.
You know?
And they bring him down. And, you know, they manage to get him down. They put him in the back of the truck, and they bring him into town where I don't know if it's like you said, there's no cops. So it's like the town sheriff / doctor / what, I like, everybody has multiple jobs in this town.
Yeah, the butcher doctor.
Yeah. And he kind of looks him over and explains.
Barber doctor.
Yeah, he explains to him that Edgar, he explains to Val and Earl that Edgar appears to have died from thirst.
Yeah, which would have taken a few days.
Yeah, so he's been up there for a few days.
At least.
And I do love that Earl is like, thirst? It's like, dude, you guys are in the desert. Like, it's fucking way more common than you think.
Right, but the weird thing about this is that he was up on that tower.
Yeah, he's up in that tower, and I think it's Val actually remarks, like, you know, like, he was up there, like he couldn't come down. Like,
yeah, he looked afraid.
He looked afraid, and like,
that's why he was up there with his gun.
Yeah. We get a couple of, like, in-between shots, one being, you know, Rhonda, who's taking these readings, doesn't realize that, like, the ground underneath her is, like, rumbling a little bit. And as she's, like, putting her stuff back into her truck to, like go away for the night, because she's not going to stay out there for the night, something under the ground comes after her and almost gets her as she's getting into the truck. And it doesn't. And it doesn't. She leaves.
But she doesn't notice that.
Yeah, she doesn't notice
that. Not now.
Not right away. Another townsperson who has sheep.
The farmer there. The farmer.
Yeah, he's Fred. He's putting up like a scarecrow or something. He's just doing
some
maintenance.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, the sheep start going a little crazy. Bonkers. Yeah, like something is wrong. They sense something is wrong.
Yeah.
And before he can go and investigate, he is pulled underground by something. He gets yanked the fuck underground. So I think it's, again, it goes back to poor, these poor two are trying to get to Bixby and they can't.
And they just keep running into, like, problems.
Yeah. So Val
and, like, serious problems.
Yeah. So Val and Earl, now that they've reported Edgar, like, they brought Edgar down, Edgar has died of thirst. Now they're like, okay, cool, back to Bixby we go. They go to leave again, and as they pass by the farm, they see that the sheep have been completely mauled.
There's sheep. Blood everywhere, wool everywhere, just sheep parts everywhere. So they go to investigate.
They stop yet again. Now, bear in mind, all their shit is still in the back of this fucking truck. They just want to leave. They get out of the truck and they go to investigate and they find, like, the farmer's hat on the ground. And when they lift it up,
they look for the farmer and he's nowhere to be found. They can't find him, but they do see the hat.
Yes. And they go over to pick up the hat and his head is, like, in the ground.
In the sand.
Yeah. He's, like, completely, like, submerged in the ground except for his head. And he's got this look of, like, horror, very similar to Edgar.
Yeah.
So, you know, now it's, they go into town and they're trying to report a fucking murder. Like, he's been murdered.
Well, now they're thinking that, what if there's a serial killer on the loose? Which really sucks in a town of 14 people.
I was going to say, a serial killer is going to go through that town very, very quickly.
Especially because the town is so isolated.
Exactly.
So they could just get away with whatever.
Yeah. So they go to call the police. The phone's not working, you know? Yep. And I think it's Earl suggests that, like, we should send somebody out to find Rhonda, the college grad or the grad student, to let her know that, like, it's
something
not,
is happening.
Something is happening and maybe she should, like, come closer to town so that she's not alone. We finally meet Bert and Heather during this time.
I love them.
Who are played by Michael Gross and Reba McEntire.
Yep.
They are doomsday preppers.
Yep.
And they are strapped at they all times.
They are packing constantly.
Packing heat constantly.
Although for preppers, they're super nice people.
Yes.
And not insane at all.
You know, so now the whole town, or most of the town, is aware that there's been two deaths. Edgar is dead. The farmer is dead. All those sheep got slaughtered. Something is going on.
When do they come across the construction workers?
I think it's when they decide to... Heather and Bert offer to go find Rhonda and let her know that she needs to come into town because something weird's going on.
Yeah.
Valentine and Earl decide that they're going to go to Bixby to call for help.
Yes.
Because that's the closest town.
Right, and especially their phones aren't working and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... When they were leaving the farm to go back into town, they passed a couple of construction workers that were clearing the road of some rocks or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're letting them know, like, there's been a murder. Like, you guys gotta, like, get out of here. But after they go back into town to report this murder, or try to because the phones are down, the construction workers they're drilling, they're jackhammering into the road.
And Val and Earl did warn them to...
Yes.
Like, hightail it out of there.
Yeah, something was going on.
But they don't.
They're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, one of the construction workers is using a jackhammer in the road because they're clearing the road.
They're breaking the asphalt up or whatever.
And his jackhammer, like, hits something under the ground that, like, starts bubbling up and bleeding through the concrete. And he's like, you know, same reaction as me. The fuck is this? The other one goes to, like, go down the road a little bit to see what the hell's going on. And something grabs him and, like, yanks him away. And the other guy, like, begins chasing him down to try and help. But he gets essentially, like, destroyed when a couple of rocks, like, fly down the side of the road and crush him.
Yeah, he gets crushed by a rock slide.
So this rock slide now has blocked the road.
Of course it has.
Of course it has. So when Val and Earl, who have, you know, now they're going to go to Bixby to call the police for help, they're going back the way they essentially came, and they come across this, like, rock slide that has completely blocked the road. Construction workers are nowhere to be found, so Val attempts a 3-point turn to go back into town, back into Perfection.
Because they can't leave now.
Yeah, that's the only road. They say that, too. It's the only road that goes in and out of the town.
Yeah.
He goes to do, like, a 3-point turn to go back into Perfection when the truck gets, like, snagged.
Yeah, it's almost like... like they're in mud or something.
Yeah.
You know, and the yeah. wheels just keep spinning and they just can't figure it out.
They can't. And they, and he's like, and Earl's getting pissed because he's like, you're going to ruin the clutch. Like, you
yeah,
need, like,
or,
what the...
or the axle.
Yeah. That's he's like,
a good way to break the axle.
Yeah. He's like, you're going to destroy the truck. Like, what are you doing? Well, Kevin Bacon does, Val, like, I got to call him Val. Val does manage to get the truck loose and hightails it back into town mm-hmm. to let them know the road is blocked now. Like, we have no way of getting help and something yeah. crazy is going on.
Yeah.
And one of the townspeople, like, looks under the truck and notices that there is something stuck to the back of the truck.
It just looks like a giant snake or yeah. something, but it's obviously not a snake.
Right.
And it was longer, like, because you can see where it ripped off of the rest of it.
Yes.
Like, it was torn.
Yeah. So it's not that he got snagged on mud. Something literally grabbed the truck and was mm-hmm. holding it until he could get out of there.
Yeah.
And I love that the, who's the guy that owns the store? Chang?
Walter Chang.
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 Chang is like, oh my God, we could like make so much money. Yes. And he's like taking pictures of like Mindy, who is
the little girl.
The little girl. Like, he's like, okay, now look scared in front of it. Like,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, it was good stuff.
Yeah. I think he buys it from Val and Earl for like $15.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's so funny. So now they are essentially trapped in Perfection.
Yeah.
The only road going in and out is blocked by this rock slide. Two people are dead. There's something crazy going on. So they decide that they're going to take horses, specifically Bert and Heather's horses. They have horses that they use because they're preppers and they're always ready to go.
Right.
So Bert and Heather offer to let Val and Earl use their horses to get to Bixby. I think that at this point they've notified Rhonda that, like, something weird's going on. But Rhonda's still doing, like, all her
She's
tests.
She's still out in the
She's
field.
She's still out in the field doing, like, all her testing and everything.
Yeah.
So Val and Earl, like, saddle up these horses and they're telling everyone, they're like, you know, we're going to go to Bixby. We'll bring back help. You know, and obviously somebody's going to be looking to see if we're okay because, you know, the power, like, the road is blocked. Like, we don't have any, like, phone service.
Communication,
like,
or anything.
Yeah, like, they're going to realize something's going on.
Right. In between, so we have, like, little, like, side scenes in between the main plot here.
Right.
And one of them is, I think it's in the evening, and it's this couple.
Oh, that's right.
And it seems that they maybe have just moved out there.
They're, like, building a house.
They're building a house out there.
Yeah.
There's nobody there. So, yeah. Like, you know, basically, like, a retirement thing, I assume. I know his name is Wallace. I'm not sure about his wife's name. But they're just, you know, a couple of, you know, nice couple, super in love, just hanging out, looking at the gorgeous stars, building a house. The generator goes, they have a generator going.
Yeah.
And it goes out. So Wallace, the husband, goes to check it out. But the generator is not actually above ground.
It's underground.
It's underground. He finds the wire, but the wire is severed.
And their assumption is that, like, this area is, like, riddled with mines, like mine shafts. So
why would you build a house there?
Yeah, crazy.
But anyways, whatever.
But they're like, you know, it maybe the ground collapsed and it fell into a mine shaft. Like, let's be extra careful because, like, obviously we don't want to fall through. Mm-hmm. And what should happen? But he falls through.
He falls through.
Or he's essentially pulled under.
Through.
He's pulled through.
So, yeah, so he's getting sucked down through the sand.
Yes.
His wife, obviously freaking out, is trying to hang on to him, but she is not doing a very good job.
Not good at all.
Yeah, which I don't think anybody really would. And then he just gets sucked under completely.
Yes.
And at that point, doesn't one of the tendrils, I guess, if you will, come out?
Yes.
And she runs.
Yeah, it, like, bites her. Like,
it
gets her on the shoulder. It, like, nips her on, like, a snake bite.
Okay.
And she hightails it to their station wagon. And these tendrils, like, now there's, like, four of them are after her.
I think it's just the tendrils.
It's just the tendrils. Okay. And she locks herself in this, like, station wagon. And, you know, the tendrils are, like, hitting the back window. They're hitting the driver's side window. She's locked the doors. And it gets, like, really quiet. But all of a sudden, the ground starts rumbling. And the station wagon essentially gets, like, pulled under slowly but surely.
Yeah, so all the glass on the car is breaking.
Yeah, filling with dirt.
Because all the dirt, the pressure from the dirt, and that's basically the last we see her. So that happens. The next, I want to say it's the next day.
Yeah.
Where Val and Earl are on horseback.
Yes.
And they're going to be heading towards Bixby.
Yes.
But they come across this.
Yes. What's left of this scene.
And, right. So they're looking. They see, was it like the front? Not entirely the front, but
well, they a hear little music. Bit. There's,
yeah, that's what it was.
There's music coming
so the
from
car
the car.
Is still on.
Yes, the car's still running because there was music the night before. There was music playing like as the car was getting pulled under.
Right.
And Earl's like, you know, where's the oldie music coming from? And they figure out the location. They start digging, and they come across like the license plate, and they keep digging, and the headlights are still on.
Yeah.
And they're like,
there's a freaking station wagon.
Yeah, underground.
The ground.
And they realize that, like, something is happening, like, under the ground. Like, whatever it is happening under the ground. Another scene that happened before they take off on horseback or before they start heading towards Bixby is when they had mentioned that, you know, people are going to come looking for us because the communication has been completely cut. Like, we don't have phones. There's, like, no outgoing correspondence. Like, people are going to come over and, like, see if we're okay. Mm. It does cut to the road that goes into town, and I don't know if you noticed, but it looks like telephone maintenance guys had been there trying to fix things, and their helmets are on the ground. There's, like, blood. So, like, obviously, somebody did try to come and help them, and they got taken, too.
Yep.
So that was kind of fun.
Yep. Excellent attention to detail.
So Earl and Val are on horseback, just cutting through the desert. And their plan is just to ride the horses all day and then at night, like, walk them. Do not stop. Like, we have to get there.
They have to make it, yeah.
And at one point, the horses start getting spooked.
Yes.
Similar to how the sheep behaved early on.
Yeah.
Like, the horses don't want to go. They're not cooperating.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
Both Val and Earl ultimately get, like, thrown off the horses.
Yes, they get kicked off.
And, you know, as is a Gale herd tradition, apparently, the horses get, yeah, something comes out of the ground.
It happens.
This big-ass, like, worm comes creature comes out of the ground, and the horses get got. Like, yep. they get, like, wrapped up in these tendrils and essentially, like, squeezed to death. They have guns. They've been Earl and Val have been provided by guns by
with
Bert and Heather. Yeah. Have given them because they're
fucking, they have so many guns.
They have so many guns. So they try shooting at this thing, and it really doesn't do much of anything. Yeah.
Like, it might stall it for a second, if that.
But it has like a really hard like exterior that the bullets can't seem to penetrate.
Yeah.
It's got all these little tendrils that are all over the fucking place
that come out of its mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
twisted.
And I think Val gets the, like, Val just, like, makes a run for it. Like, he's like, it's under the ground, like, we gotta go. They start running, and this thing is, like, chasing them, and it's hauling ass. It's, like,
yeah,
it's,
they're running as fast as they can, and you can just see behind them,
like,
the ground rising as it follows.
They do, like, reach, like, it's like a ditch.
It's like a culvert or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's, it's sort of like a ditch, but it's relatively big.
Yeah.
But it is cement or concrete.
Yes.
And rebar.
And they jump down into it, and there's like this big crash behind them, and the cement sort of like pushes out a little bit, but then like the tendrils kind of come out of it and they're oozing. So this thing has broken. Yeah. It like smashed its head against.
So it smashed its head against the concrete and actually killed this worm.
Yeah.
At this point, I believe Rhonda comes back into the picture.
Yeah, Rhonda kind of, yeah, like Rhonda comes over. She's like, hey, guys. Like,
no, right?
She's like, did anybody hear that? Like, they hear that rumble or feel that rumble? Because she's taking all her measurements.
Right.
And then she sees this, like,
and she sees this thing.
Big ass fucking worm thing, which Dune wishes it was this great. Like, let's be real. Dune is trash compared to Tremors.
Oh, my God. She deduces that this creature has no eyes. So
yes.
It's 100% subterranean.
Yeah, she's examining it, and she's...
Because she's a smart lady.
She's the grad student. She's the smart broad in this movie.
Yeah.
And she's examining this thing's body, and the thing is massive.
It's
like,
huge.
Like, her and Earl are, like, looking at its head, and Val goes and finds the tail end, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And he's like, we gotta get a flatbed. Like, they're, like, immediately, like, we gotta get a flatbed to put this thing on it. We're gonna make a fortune. Like, they're gonna...
That's the only thing they're thinking of.
It's just, like, how much money?
Well, how much money can we sell? This is, like, you know, a modern marvel of, you know, evolution and all this other stuff.
And but she does determine, like, examining it, like you said, it has no eyes.
And it has, like, these spiny things around its torso.
Yeah.
That basically allow it to move through
the dirt.
The dirt.
But it can't move through rock.
No.
So.
Yeah. And she also deduces that I want to, from her seismology machine there, that there's at least three more.
Yes.
So that's not the only one.
Yes.
So they know there's three more that they have to deal with.
Yeah, she's showing them the readings, and she's like, there was this reading over here, and then there's this reading over here, but then these two readings were at the same time over here. So yeah. we're looking at, like, three more of these goddamn
at
things.
Least, yeah.
She also mentions that it could be prehistoric, like, yes. just based on its anatomy
it's
or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to, like, get this thing out of the ground to bring it either back into town. They can't bring it to Bixby. They don't have horses.
Right.
But they got to get a flatbed to bring this thing back into town. And they also have to kill the other ones. Like,
right. So, essentially, they become, I want to say another one comes around because they become trapped with Rhonda.
Yes.
Because they don't have the horses, but Rhonda has her truck.
Yes.
But her truck is, like, way out there. They can see it. Like, it's not super far.
Yeah.
But it's not safe. So they basically end up on a boulder, if you will.
Yes.
And spend the night on it.
Well, that's the thing is Rhonda, so they're going to go to Rhonda's truck to try and, like, drag this thing out of the ground so that
and
they can drag.
And also get back to town.
Yeah, and get back into town. But as they're, like, making their way towards the truck, another, like you said, another one comes, and they do end up being sort of pushed onto these boulders. And Rhonda deduces that because this thing doesn't have eyes, how it can tell they're there is, like, vibrations.
On the ground.
It can feel the vibrations on the ground. And it knows that it's on, it knows that they're on the rock because they're talking and the vibrations are still hitting the ground. So it knows that they're sort of, like, in this little concentrated area.
Mm-hmm.
It's at this point that because they're there overnight, they wake up the next morning, and they have to get to the truck. But it should be noted, because we've talked about this. We talked about this when we did Lake Placid. Earl wakes up. He looks over, and Rhonda and Val are, like, kind of cozy. They're sleeping side by side. He has put his jacket over her. And Earl just thinks it's the cutest thing. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't hide
like,
the... And I'm like, here we go.
Let's shoehorn this shit right in.
I fucking love a good...
this story, this subplot, however, far superior to the crap in Lake Placid.
With that unlikable, rude...
At least Rhonda and Val are likable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And connect.
I mean, I do love Bill Pullman, though. Like,
So do I.
Love Bill
Pullman. He wasn't the problem in that
relationship. No, it was definitely
the other one there.
Well, you know what I love about this is, because I think these came out relatively, like, within the same decade, is in Lake Placid, she's, like, the brainy paleontologist, mm-hmm. but she's such a fucking bitch. Like, she's so mean to everybody. Rhonda's, like, the...
Super sweet.
And, like, smart. And, like, not condescending. And, like,
not
rude to these, like, desert town people who don't have much. Like, she is so nice to everybody.
She's super sweet and super pleasant.
So, in terms of, like, a potential love story being shoehorned into this, I fully support this because...
I agree. Because at least she's, like... Like, you could see where someone would be attracted to her.
Yeah,
you know,
she's
cute. Because aside from... She's cute. But aside from that, she's not a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, I'm just like, girl, that is Kevin fucking Bacon in his prime, prime-ass Kevin Bacon.
That is prime-ass Kevin Bacon.
Prime-ass Kevin Bacon. Get it. Get it, girl.
Yep. Well, anyway.
Get you some. And it's cute because they wake up and Val realizes, like, oh, he's been, like, awfully cozy with this woman over the course of the night. And she, like, hands him his jacket back and thanks him. And he's like, yeah, anytime. And he looks over at Earl and Earl's, like, giving him, like, a thumbs up. Earl's, like, the best wingman ever.
He really is. He's great.
They want to see if this thing is still, like, by the rocks. So... Val, like, puts his foot down on the ground, and the tendrils, like, immediately, like, it knows that they're there.
It was right there, yeah.
And they're, like, arguing about, like, how to get to the truck, and Val realizes there's some, like, kind of long branches, and she has this brilliant idea.
Rhonda realizes.
Oh, who did I say?
Val.
Oh, sorry, Rhonda realizes.
Yeah, she's, like, she sees, like, poles, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, like, long sticks.
Yes.
And she's, like, haven't any of you ever pole vaulted? Before, like, we will just pole vault rock to rock until we get to the truck.
So
and she does it, and it when I was watching this, I was like, this is when I would die. This is like when I would,
This is it.
This is the part where I would get it because I, the idea of me trying to pole vault on anything is one, hilarious, but two, like I'm going to fall off that fucking thing like immediately and that thing's going to come
really?
Up.
Really? Because I feel like there's a whole generation of millennials who could probably kill that from years of playing The Floor is Lava.
True.
So, I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Well, I always viewed, like, The Floor is Lava as, like, I would be really good at parkour. I think I'd be really good at parkour.
Then you should be able to pole vault. We could try pole vaulting afterwards.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
I'll tell Andy to get some long poles.
So, ultimately, they, you know, Val and Earl get their own sticks, and we get this little montage of them pole vaulting
from boulder to boulder to get to the truck.
It's so sweet. It's super
sweet.
Cute.
It's cute, yeah.
They do get to the truck, and, you know, on the last rock, Rhonda's like, okay, like, we have to, like, start the truck and go, like, because this thing's going
to
know
we're
here.
Yeah, they still had to run to the truck.
Yeah.
Less distance, obviously, but yeah. They still had to make a break for it.
So she, like, puts the car keys in her mouth to do, like, the last little vault, because she's smart. She's like, she thinks.
She is.
She thinks.
She's a thinker.
Because, you know, like, I've been in situations where I've had my car keys in my pocket, and, like, if I feel like I'm being followed or there's somebody sketchy, I'm like, I got to haul ass to my car. And
it's just something that we have to live with, Ashley.
As women, like you, and
it's
so
just
like
something you live with.
So like I will like run. I'll sprint to my car. Like it's raining, and I just got my hair done. I got to sprint to my car.
Yeah, that's
there's a strange dude that's like making me feel a little bit uneasy when I'm leaving like a bar or a restaurant, and I gotta like run to my car. I've
and
learned
you hold your keys.
Well, for the first
thing,
well, like I used to just like keep them in my pocket, and I'd like run with my hands in my pocket, but. Then I would, like, go to pull the keys in. I'd be pulling out, like, receipts and, like,
fucking
slinky. Like, there's just shit in my pocket that I didn't.
Whatever is just in your pocket.
Yeah, just, like, shit that I didn't, like, realize. I, like fucking a slinky, like, a fucking
right?
slingshot.
Like I pull out a handful of goobers.
Yes. Like, fucking, like, half-melted goobers, like, gummy bears. And shit. Like, what the, how the fuck did this get in? Lint. Like, how the fuck did this get in here? Where are my keys? Where did they go? So they do ultimately get to the truck. Val kind of, like, they jump in the bed of the truck. Val, like, works her way through, like, the back window and is starting the truck as... I'm sorry.
I don't need to keep correcting you. Yeah.
No, you know what it is? It's because like, I think Val and I think, like, a woman's name.
Yeah,
so it's just,
yeah,
like, so...
Yeah, Valentine.
So, I'm sorry. So Rhonda. Yeah. Rhonda, who's, like, the badass female lead. We need to... Okay.
Yes.
Pardon my...
She, like, dives into the back of the truck and dives through, like, the window.
Yes.
Like, the back windshield of the truck.
Yeah.
And throws her keys into the ignition and starts it. And all she does, using her hands
to
just hits the gas to just take off. The boys there, Val and Earl, hop into the back and are basically just holding her there.
Yeah, holding her there so she doesn't, like, lose her shit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the tendrils are, like, trying to get at her, like, from the driver's side window, but they haul ass.
Yeah, as soon as she, like, just punches the gas with the top part of her body.
Yeah.
Don't know how they were steering it or seeing, but...
Well, at one point, she's like, can you please help me? Like,
yeah, like, okay, we're moving, so...
They're back in the town, and, you know, they're explaining... So all three get back into town, and they are explaining to everyone in this in Chang's general store, like, what is happening. They're like, there's these...
At the local hangout. Which is the convenience store.
They're talking about, like, there's, you know, there's shit underground, and it can sense, like, our vibrations.
And knows where you're walking.
Yeah, like, it knows where you are. So, like, we have to stay inside, and we have to figure out a plan. And meanwhile, like, Melvin's, like, pulling pranks and shit because he's just the
douche.
Fucking worst.
Yeah, because he's a teenage boy.
At one point, you know, the mom, Mindy's mom, is like, I'm going to go find Mindy. Like,
right, she's like, let me find my daughter.
Yeah, which, but, like, you got two dead bodies in town. Like, I think your daughter should be by your side at all times. Mm. But, you know, things are a little bit different in Perfection, Nevada. So she goes to, like, find her daughter. Bert and Heather are still off, like, I think they were, like, going to, like, fucking search or something, or like try to find a way out of town, like,
yeah,
you know, and they've been gone, so everybody's kind of separated at this point, which is important. The worm creatures have now made it back into town. Like, they've come back. The three remaining creatures have made it back into town. And they realize that there's people in the buildings because they start, like, fucking up the floorboards and shit.
Yeah,
and like,
they're, like, headbutting the floorboards now. So the boards are coming up and everybody's, yes, like... So they're also talking at a whisper.
Yes.
And also, as soon as they start hitting the floors, everybody is, like, trying to hop on, like, the shelves.
Yes.
Like, the freezer, I think, yes, is one they hop on. Unfortunately, not everybody makes it.
Well, before that happens, I know that we do find out where Mindy is, and she's on her goddamn pogo
stick
again.
She's outside on her stupid pogo stick.
And she's bouncing up and down, and the vibrations are attracting one of the worms.
Obviously, yeah.
And the worm's going right towards her, and Val, like, sprints to go and get her off the stick.
Yeah.
Rhonda, like, also, like, chases behind him to try and help, and it's at this point that he does manage to save Mindy before she gets snatched up by the worm, but poor Rhonda gets attacked because she gets tripped up in barbed wire.
She does, and then it just gets worse and worse.
And she's trying, she's trying to, like, get out of the barbed wire, and the worm is, like, the tendrils are, like, pulling at the barbed wire and sort of, like, pulling her because she's caught on it, like, towards this thing's mouth.
Yeah, and the barbed wire at this point is now wrapped around her legs. She can't do shit.
So Val, after, like, getting Mindy with her mother and telling them to run inside, get inside, these things are under the ground, he goes to assist Rhonda. And another fun part is because she's all tripped up, he's like, you got to get out of your pants. And I'm like, smooth, dude. Real smooth. So smooth. So he's helping her get out of her, like, cargo pants or whatever.
I think she was wearing regular-ass jeans.
Was she wearing regular-ass jeans?
I think she was just wearing regular-ass Levi's.
So.
Anyways, but yeah, so there's no get cut in this barbed wire.
Yeah.
Not before she gets swallowed.
Yes.
So she's like, yep, and she has no problem doing it because, you know, if you're in that situation.
Yeah, fuck it.
Those pants are coming off as fast as they can. So
what if they're designer?
No.
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm like, I'm
so I don't wear designer pants, Ashley, if you feel your life is threatened, is all I'm saying. I mean, I feel like that's not a weird
request.
I feel like
she started this not knowing that her life was going to be threatened. Like, I've been in situations where I've got, like, nice jeans on, and if all of a sudden my life is being threatened in my nice jeans, I'm like, ooh, do I really want to give up on these $50 pair of jeans?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, idiot. So anyway, so she's like, yep, and it just, he literally pulls her, like, she gets, like, unbuttoned or whatever, and he just pulls her out of them.
Yes.
Because the barbed wire is all hooked in the pants.
Well,
so that's not going anywhere.
Well, here's where I love this movie. So she's all cut up from the barbed wire. Like, she's got, like, little cuts on her legs and stuff. And Val's tending to her in the general
her
store.
Wounds.
Her wounds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, aw, like, so cute. because they're having, like, this, like, charged moment between them. And I'm like, girl, yes. Get it, girl. It's Kevin Bacon. Get it. And it's at this point where Chang, he brings her over, like, a pair of sneakers and an extra
and
pair of jeans
pair of pants,
that he had available. And, and, like, you know, it's a very, like, nice, everyone's helping each other.
Yeah.
But no sooner.
Lovely community.
Yeah. No sooner does Chang, like, you know, provide her with some extra clothes than that fucking worm comes up through the floorboards because he's got a faulty cooler in the general store that vibrates.
Yeah. So the cooler turned on.
Yes.
So I think it was Val. Or Val Chang and maybe Earl, I'm not sure.
They run to this
freezer.
Because
it's
loud.
Yeah.
It's
loud as hell.
It's loud as hell.
And they're trying to, like, stop it. And he's like, pull the plug. Where's the plug? Pull the plug. So Chang does pull the plug, I believe, but just a second too late. And the worm comes up and grabs Chang.
Yep.
And what I thought was also, I'm not sure if this is an Easter egg or if I just compared it to that, but it was very Jaws.
Ooh, yeah.
Like when the worm is swinging back and forth with half of a body sticking out of it,
yeah.
You know, kind of like Quint.
I got that vibe, for sure. It was very Jaws right there. Speaking of, just sidetrack. So Jaws just celebrated its 50th anniversary.
Yes.
One of the best feel-good summer movies of all time. One of my personal favorites.
Personal favorites too.
We just watched it after we last recorded.
Yeah.
We were like, let's fucking watch Jaws.
Yep.
They're playing that shit in theaters. They're doing an IMAX screening of the
original.
Are they? Yeah. And I'm like, Baking to the B Movies field trip?
Baking. I'm down.
Let's do it. All right. So these things now realize that there's people in these buildings. they come up, the worm comes up through the floorboard, it kills Chang, and everybody is, like, now hopping up on shelves. They're like, we gotta make it to the fucking roof at this point. Like, there's no getting away from these things.
Right.
So, ultimately, Earl, Val, Rhonda doesn't quite make it.
She's on a shelf, but this worm is smart enough to basically domino
the shelves.
Like, one of the tendrils comes up and it appears, well, a couple of them, I think, but it appears that they push the shelf
to knock her off,
domino it, and she's hopping from shelf to shelf as they fall down. It's a great scene.
Yeah.
And the last shelf she's on falls, and she falls through
a window. A
beautifully placed window.
Yeah. And it should be noted, too, that I think it's Rhonda and Val both realize that these things are, like, getting smarter.
Smarter.
They're starting to, like, pick up on their efforts and their tricks. Yeah. Like, you know, they're getting smart. They're getting, like, they're wising up to what these people are doing to try and escape.
Right.
So Rhonda goes out the window. Val, Earl, and is it Miguel? Is that his name? The other guy there? There's another guy that's with them. They get up on the roof. They climb.
Yes.
They climb through, like, a
Tony
hatch.
Gennaro.
They climb up through a hatch in the ceiling.
In the roof. Yeah, or in the ceiling to get to the roof.
When, you know, Val immediately, like, runs to the side to see where Rhonda is, and she has now climbed up to a water tower that's right next to the building.
Rhonda made it, fortunately. As soon as she falls out the window, this poor girl just keeps getting beat the fuck up. There's a water tower, like, just a few feet away, really. And she manages to climb up it to save herself there. So she's on the water tower. We have Miguel, Val, and Earl, I want to say, on top of the convenience store.
Yes.
We have Melvin.
Who is now...
Who was in a shed, like, on the other side of the convenience store, and they're yelling at him
to get on the roof.
He does.
And then Mindy and her mom are on the roof of their house.
Yes.
And there's one other guy who is on the roof of his trailer, and I forget his name, but he's on his trailer.
He climbs up. And
he's like Nelson or something.
Meanwhile, Heather and Bert are at their compound.
Yes, they're...
And I believe they're gathering guns and ammo and stuff.
Yes.
But their compound's very small, but it's mostly underground because, you know, preppers. And it's also, like, fenced in.
Yeah.
It's, like, legit. So they're underground. They have no idea what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Because their compound is a little ways away.
It can still be...
You can see it. You can visibly see it from, like, the main town there.
Right.
But it's, like, up on a hill, like, maybe, like, a half mile away or something.
Right.
So they... I believe Val gets on the radio or a walkie.
So Bert and Heather radio the general store to see, like, hey, you know, any news, any updates? Like, we haven't heard from you guys.
Right.
Val kind of, like, reaches down through the window and pulls the radio up and gets them on the CB. And he's explaining, like, these things, like, you guys need to get up on your roof. Like, these things are in the ground, but it's not coming in.
It's not coming through clear.
Yeah.
So they're not really sure what they're saying or what's going on.
Meanwhile, Heather is like, what the fuck was that machine she was using that, like, rumbles? She had, like, the bullets in it.
I don't know.
I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know. Like, she put a bunch of bullets in a barrel of some kind.
And it was, like, vibrating.
And it vibrated. She's doing something. I don't know. And I'll ask Andy after.
And the other, like, so Val, Earl, Miguel, and Rhonda see, like, the worms are, like, going towards the rumbling noise. Like, they're going towards, or one of them is going towards Rhonda and Bert's house.
Yes.
The other two remaining worms are still kind
just
of, like,
terrorizing.
Yeah, like, at one point, like, they're, like, basically, like, sinking the general store into the ground.
Yeah, like, they're focused mainly on this general store. Because, like, the roof that they're on is just friggin' waving, you know?
And what I love is, like, before it does that, like, they look down and they can see the tendrils kind of feeling around the different buildings.
Yeah.
And they're like, Rhonda, what is it doing? And she's like, why do you keep asking me?
Yeah. Well, because she's the smart college student.
Yeah. So at one point, you know, we get back to Bert and Heather, and she's like, you know, he was saying something about, you know, Heather's like, he was saying something about, like, something's underground and, like, you know, and they're getting all their fucking guns and everything ready, and the fucking worm, like, all of a sudden there's, like, a big rumble and it starts, like, breaking through their wall.
Yeah. And it does break through.
It does break through, and they are now faced with this gigantic creature in their basement.
Yeah.
And they just unload
to pieces. Fortunately, they have many, many, many rounds of ammo and many, 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 many guns that are ready to go. Yeah. Like, they're all just hanging up on the wall.
Yeah, all you
so they
can
just grab it and grab a magazine and just... So they are, it's like a 10-minute thing.
Just
shooting and nothing's working until...
The elephant
Bert grabs the elephant gun.
Yes.
Which is so big.
It's
the barrel on that gun must have been 5 feet long.
It's so obnoxious.
And it was a double barrel shotgun, I believe. And the barrels themselves must have been a 2-inch diameter or something stupid. It was completely asinine. But it does penetrate the worm. And they do manage to kill it.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, good for them.
So meanwhile, everyone back in town could hear all this crazy gunfire. And then it gets really quiet. And they're like, fuck. Oh, no. But then you get on the radio. They're like, we killed it.
Yeah.
Like,
we got it.
And so, now it's get up on your roof.
At that point, now they can actually hear them through the radio, clearly.
Yes.
They're like, there's worms. And I want to say they probably mentioned that there's two more.
There's two more. Because
so
when
get the hell up. Onto your roof.
Because
the ground is not safe.
So when they get up on their roof, they do see one that has come over, and Bert does shoot at, but doesn't do anything to it.
No,
the skin
doesn't.
Is too,
you
have to shoot
that.
It directly in the mouth or the tendrils.
Yeah.
So now they're up on, everybody is up on their roof. And now these things have, because they're getting smarter, they wise up to these people are on the roof. We have to pull them down. So I believe it's, I want to say it's, Nelson or something, the guy that was on top of the trailer, the tendrils come up and grab the trailer
and they pull the trailer
and
down,
they tip the trailer over and he makes a run for it, but
he
doesn't make it. He gets pulled underground.
Nestor, I believe.
Nestor. Thank you, Nestor. Yeah. So now everyone's realizing these things are going to pull us down. They're going to they're just going to rip the foundations out until they get us on the ground. We have to get out of here. And I think it's Earl realizes, we have a cat. What is it?
They call it a cat.
The cat.
It's a massive, tractor machine.
And it has a trailer that everyone can, sit in
and
the back.
And a huge trailer. Basically, it's armored.
Yeah, it's a big armored vehicle. And sure, it goes slow, but those things aren't going to be able to, pull that. It weighs too much.
It weighs too much. They wouldn't be able to pull it down.
So,
they mentioned it was, 30 tons or something stupid.
Yeah.
Something insane.
Yeah. So, Earl and Val are now discussing, okay, somebody has to get to the cat. They have to start it up and they have to come back around and get everybody in the trailer. And then let's go to the mountains because we've already established that these things cannot dig through rock. They can't get through rock. So if we can get up to the mountains, we should be safe when we can figure out our next plan.
You're right.
And Earl and Val, because it's this big macho man thing, they do rock, paper, scissors. Earl wins.
Well, they both want to
do it.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, they both, they're both willing to take that chance.
Yeah.
And
but they want to be the heroes.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
so Earl ultimately wins and he's okay, I'm gonna go get it. And then, I think Val goes to shake his hand or something, but then he kind of punches him to take the wind out of him so that he
he goes to shake his hand and then he elbows him in the chest.
Yeah, so that he can
and he takes off.
He takes off running.
The cat, yeah.
And they see that he's running. And this thing is pursuing them. One of the worms is pursuing him. And he's almost at the cat when the thing, comes out of the ground. And he freezes. And Ron is telling him, don't move. You cannot move.
Right. Which, again, she's a smart lady.
She's
because
smart.
If you're not moving, they're not going to...
It's like a T-Rex.
It's not going to hear you or feel you, I guess. So he does. He stops. And this tendril comes out. And he's, lifting his foot so it doesn't, hit his foot.
Yeah.
Knowing where he's at. So what they also try to do is distract the worms.
They're making a ton of noise.
They're making a ton of noise.
Rhonda ends up, hitting, because she's on the water tower.
Again, smart move.
She's
because
so smart.
The Miguel and Earl use, what was it, a lawnmower?
Yeah, they use, a tractor. They climb down, they manage to start a tractor,
and they just let it go.
Yeah, and one of the worms goes after, because
yes.
There's only two left. So one goes after the tractor, the other one is by Val.
So the tractor actually crashes.
It tips over.
And they're like, well, shit. So Rhonda, being a very smart lady that she is,
yeah,
starts kicking the water pipe that's connected to the water tower.
Yeah.
Because all the water will come out, creating tons and tons and tons of noise.
And hell yeah, it
worked. And it worked like a champ.
So,
by the way, the cat is actually a track loader.
Oh, okay.
From what I have it written down. I don't know. I'll give you an idea of what
so the track worm loader is. The worm that is by Val hears the water hitting the ground and goes back into town where Rhonda is.
Yeah, so it leaves where Val was because it was literally right under his feet.
Yeah.
And then it leaves as soon as it hears the water and stuff
yeah.
hitting the ground. So then he's able to make it to the track loader.
Yes, and start it up.
Yep.
And starts driving into town mm-hmm. to collect yeah, everyone.
Yeah, and he trailers the...
And it does show some of the tendrils, like, trying to reach up, but they get, like, snagged on the
tires.
On the
shittiest tire.
Yeah, and like the tractor traction thing, whatever the hell you call it, and yep. So they can't quite grab the cat,
yeah,
and or the trailer,
yeah.
And as he's like making his way into town, people are just like hopping off the roof into the trailer. Mm-hmm. They get to where Bert and Heather are at their house, and they've been busy while they've been waiting for all this to happen because they've been making pipe bombs.
They're making homemade pipe bombs. They have a duffel, at least one. I think it was two duffel bags full of pipe bombs
that they've been making.
That they've been making while they wait for the track loader to get to them,
yeah.
or for the other people to get to them to get them off the roof.
Yeah,
so good.
They scoop up Melvin. They scoop up Mindy and her mom. They scoop up Bert and Heather
Rhonda,
and and everybody's like in the back of this trailer, and they're making their way to the mountains, and they're almost there, and they notice that the two remaining worms are behaving a little differently. Like, is it? It doesn't seem like they're following us, but what they haven't realized is that the worms that are now, like, much more intelligent have set a fucking trap. Like,
right? They evolve, like, by the minute.
Yeah.
But so they basically set a sinkhole trap.
They, like, dug out a hole in the road.
Bunch of bastards.
Knowing that they're on the road, they're mm-hmm. heading in a certain direction, the only direction they can go in. So they set this sinkhole, and the tractor goes into it. And now everybody has to make another run for it to a big rock pile.
A big rock pile, yep.
We do pick up on the fact that, like, Bert, who has these pipe bombs, when he throws them, because he has thrown a couple to try and blow them up, the noise that it makes, it, like, either scares them or hurts them. Something, like, the
yeah, they don't like
it.
It's bad.
They don't like it. Yep. And so he's, like, you know, occasionally throwing, like, a pipe bomb until everybody's able to get on these rocks.
Yep.
And from there, it's, you know, now it's, everybody's just stuck on this rock, like, with no plan.
Stuck back on the rocks with no plan. They can't go anywhere. Like,
the second they step down.
What do you do? Yeah. All they have is the pipe bombs, but that's not going to do, like, you have to make, you know, that's going to run out.
Yeah.
So you have to make it worth it.
Yeah.
So they decide to fish.
Well, it's funny because Bert's, like, then it becomes, like, starvation. Like, they've been there for, it kind of, like, does, like, a little bit of a time jump where they've apparently been there for, like, a couple hours or whatever, and they're yeah. just kind of hanging out. And Bert says something about, like, you know, he's like, I'm just going to go out with all the bombs strapped to me and let it take me and just, like, light it and let them. And it gives Earl the idea of, well, like, why don't we just draw them out?
Yeah.
Like, and do that plan, but without you getting eaten.
Right. We can do it without, you know, the killing
yeah, we
and
can do
the
without,
murder.
Yeah, we can do it without you getting sacrificed.
Right.
So they start, like, throwing rocks, like, smaller rocks on the ground to get the worm to kind of, like, come closer to them.
Yeah. They're
and,
luring them.
Yeah, and Earl ties up a pipe bomb and throws it, like, you know, and starts, like, pulling it because the vibrations will attract the mm-hmm. worm. And it is lit. Like, he does light the pipe
bomb. He lights it, yeah.
And sure enough, one of the two remaining worms, like, comes up out of the ground, grabs the pipe bomb, and pulls it down underground. Everybody takes cover, and that thing gets blown to bits.
Two pieces.
Two fucking pieces. Very
chunky
similar.
Chunky salsa everywhere.
Similar to Jaws.
Yes. So, now we're down to one worm.
Now we're down to one.
So, they're like, oh, this is a great plan. So, all they have to do is the same exact thing. Unfortunately, these worms are smart as hell.
Yeah. So, and this one seems to have it bad for Val and Earl. Like, this is the yeah. one that wants, it specifically
was
wants
this,
to
was,
kill them.
Was this the one that...
they called Stumpy.
Yeah, because the tendril is the one that got trapped around the actual
their
of their truck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're specifically after Val and Earl. Yeah. I assume for that reason.
For vengeance.
Yeah. Like, this worm is on a mission of vengeance at this point.
So this last one has wised up enough to their plan, and they try fishing again, and it doesn't work.
Well, it takes the bomb.
Oh, that's right.
They toss it out, and they're pulling it.
I laughed so hard.
They pull it. They're starting to, you know, reel it in.
Yep.
The worm takes it. Spits it out.
It back out towards them.
Towards them. It literally lands in the duffel bag full of the bombs.
It's so fucking good.
So at that point, now they all disperse. And yes. I want to say, like, some of them ran to, like, other boulders to stand on or something. But all these bombs, like, blow up. Although, I believe Val had one more.
He has one
on
more.
On his person.
Yes, he has one more.
So now, I believe him, Earl, and Rhonda are, like, on another rock somewhere.
Yeah.
Basically, they took cover. So now they're like, well, crap, because all we have is one bomb left.
Yeah.
What to do? And if they throw it out again like that, the worm's probably going to spit it right back at them.
They're going to be, yeah. And then they're just going to, they're going to just die. They're
going to
die.
That's it. They're going to die of dehydration or starvation or get eaten by a worm. Or sunstroke, I guess, or heat stroke.
So I think it's Val at this point just says, fuck it. He's got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He's got one last, it's his Hail Mary.
Yep.
And doesn't he, like, just make a run for it?
Yep.
He just,
I think they all do. They all go together.
All three of them, Val, Earl, and Rhonda, just make a fucking run for it.
And, yeah, and they decide to run towards a cliff.
Yes. There's a cliff nearby.
Yeah.
And they're hauling ass towards this cliff. The worm's hot on their trail. When it gets close enough, Rhonda and Earl kind of, because they're on, like, the right and left side of Val, they, like, jump in different directions. But mm-hmm. Val stays until the very last second. And when the worm, like, comes up, he, like, moves out of the way. And the worm ultimately ends up crashing through the side of the cliff.
And falls to its death.
And falls to its death on the rocks below.
Well, prior to that, so I believe Rhonda was running with him because she had the lighter.
Yes.
So she had to toss the lighter to him. Fortunately, yes. He catches it. He cut the
fuse. Yeah, to make it
he
shorter.
He shortens the fuse, lights it, tosses it at the worm. But he overshoots it.
Yes.
Or overshoots it. So it lands behind the worm, blows up, nothing happens. And the worm is still coming for him. And he just does the noble thing and jumps out of the way at the very right time. Thing flies through the cliffside down to its death, which is probably, I don't know, what would you think? Like 50, 100 feet maybe?
Yeah, something like that. But it just smushes.
And it just, like...
explodes on the rocks.
Explodes into pieces.
And everybody's, like, cheering. Yeah. Like, all the people left on the rocks are cheering. And that's the last worm.
Yep.
So now everyone's back in town. They have to rebuild. The town's just been completely decimated by these goddamn things. But yeah. Rhonda, she, like... And Val's like, oh, my God, we're going to be, like, People Magazine. And Earl's like, we're going to be a National Geographic. And Rhonda, who is going to bring all of this research, all of this information back to her college, she comes over to, like, take their picture for the publication that they are ultimately going to be in for this, like, incredible find.
Yeah.
And Earl's just kind of like, you know, like egging Val on, like, hey man, like, she's so much different than the girls you typically go for. Like,
the dumb blonde broads that you usually go for.
And there's like this, you know, they're basically saying goodbye because everyone has to go their separate ways. And Rhonda goes to leave. And Val is like, you know, Earl's just like, dude, like, really? Go make a move.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And he goes up to her and, you know, she's getting ready to leave. And he's like, you know, he just goes for it. He just plants one on her.
Yep.
And then we get that Reba McEntire song.
I know the Reba song at the end. I love it.
And that is Tremors. And I'm like, I fucking love this movie. It's so great.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's the end of it, though. But
it's a good movie. It's such a great, like, creature feature.
It's so good.
You know, like, it's a classic, like, monster movie. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. What was your body count on this? I had 8, but 10 if you count those two, like, phone maintenance workers who we didn't see die on camera. Like, it wasn't in the movie, but their helmets were on the ground, so I'm assuming they got eaten, too.
I have 7.
Okay.
All so right. I probably definitely didn't count them.
So we have, okay.
And I didn't count, like, I don't know if I counted the first guy, the farmer there.
I counted the farmer. I counted the guy up on the electrical thing, Edgar.
Oh, I didn't count him.
Okay, so...
He was already dead. I didn't count him.
Okay, so you'd have 8 with him.
Yeah.
And then 10 with the two
with the mates. Two guys.
All right, cool. Yeah. So, what would you give this for a star rating?
Like 4.5.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna give it a solid 4.2.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good movie. Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Do you have any fun tidbits about this movie?
Well, the budget was $6 million.
Okay.
The box office made 16.7, so yes. Successful.
Very good.
Came out in 1990, was directed by Ron Underwood, produced by Brent Maddock, S.S. Wilson, Brent Maddock and S.S. Wilson, and written by Maddock, Wilson, and Underwood. It was released by Universal, the first installment of the franchise, and followed by 5 direct-to-video sequels and 1 prequel.
I was going to ask about, because I knew that there were, like, so many Tremors movies after this.
Yeah.
Were any of this cast?
No.
Okay. I was going to say.
I actually haven't seen, the only sequel I've seen, I don't actually know if it's a sequel or a prequel, was Shrieker Island, which I want to say is the most recent one.
Okay.
It was so bad. But no, it had none of that. Had none of the original. I don't know if the others do.
Okay,
but yeah,
I was always curious.
Shrieker Island was pretty trash. So the concept of Tremors was conceived in the early '80s when Wilson was serving as an editor at a base for the U.S. Navy as a filmmaker.
Okay,
right. When hiking one time over large boulders, he was pole vaulting in between the boulders, just because I guess why not. And just thought to himself, what if something was underground and I couldn't get off of this rock? Which is kind of scary. So he tucked the idea away on a piece of paper and eventually came back to it after the success of selling the script Short Circuit. The same guy who did Short Circuit. With his writing partner, which was Brent Maddock. Which obviously I mentioned his name just moments ago. So, Wilson and Maddock shared their idea to their friend Ron Underwood, who was the director, who was actually working with National Geographic as a documentary writer and used his knowledge of zoology to better develop the land sharks into creatures that could realistically exist.
Nice.
So, it was a whole like, oh, well, here's an idea for a monster movie, but let's, like, because he had prior knowledge of nature...
Yeah.
Like, let's basically make them like sharks, except land sharks.
Love it.
You know? So, the creature for Tremors was designed by Amalgamated Dynamics, who specialize in animatronics and prosthetic makeup. They made thousands of things for movies. It was set to release in 1989. However, the MPAA, our friends at the MP frickin' AA, gave the film an R rating.
What? This is like the most PG.
Owing to language. It was the language. But yeah, I think this is what, PG or PG-13?
That's crazy. Because doesn't Kevin Bacon say the word fuck like once?
Listen to this. The creators decided at the last minute to make the film more commercially available, obviously. Over 20 uses or so of the word fuck were either cut or redubbed with softer words. I don't know if you noticed this.
He called them mother suckers at one point.
Yep. An example, examples including, can you fly, you sucker? And we killed that mother humper. Great. I just love it.
It's like, watch it. Have you ever seen, like, the movie, like, Casino, when it's on, when it's, like, edited for TV?
No.
Okay. So, one of my favorite lines in Casino is when Sharon Stone, it's near the end, like, Ginger, who's Sharon Stone's character, and I forget Robert De Niro's character's name, like, their marriage is disintegrating.
Yeah.
And at one point, like, they get into this heated argument at a restaurant, and they get home, and they get, like, the argument has continued, and she goes to leave. And she's like, who blew you in the parking lot on the way home? Like, but when it's edited for TV, And she also goes, oh, his name's Sam. She calls him, because she goes, fuck you, Sam Rothstein, fuck you. And she leaves the house. I watched the edited for TV version because it was on, and I'll watch any Scorsese movie when it's on, regardless. And she's like, instead of who blew you in the parking lot, she goes, you know, obviously, like, who knew you in the parking lot? And then she goes, freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you. It
freak
is
you.
Fucking hilarious.
Freak.
It's so funny.
So ridiculous.
So funny.
Oh my goodness.
It's one of my favorite dubs. It's absolutely one of my favorite dubs of all. Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you. It's so funny.
So good. So 88% Rotten Tomatoes.
As it should be. Should be higher.
It should be higher.
Should
but,
be higher.
But it's not bad. An affectionate throwback to 1950s creature features.
The best.
Tremors reinvigorates the genre tropes with a finely balanced combination of horror and humor. Agree. Ebert liked it enough to recommend it, but just barely. The Washington Post, a delightful throwback that evokes the populist spirit of 50s B-movies. Agreed.
Agreed.
Yes, we love that one. Siskel, right? And this is why I put Ebert in there, too, because we have Siskel. Gave it a negative review.
Fuck him.
Would make a cute, short subject. It doesn't sustain itself for the entire film. Disagree.
Disagree.
However, 2 years later, he reevaluated, saying, the picture has grown on me. I think it's worth a second viewing. There is a spirit of good fun here.
It's so fun.
What a tool.
It's so, and I'm like, this movie is so fun. It's
it really
so
is.
Fucking
it's,
fun.
It's super fun. The pacing's great. The acting is great.
Yeah, everybody's
the
really
cast
good in
is
this.
Great.
Everybody's so good in this.
Yeah, like, it was just a solid, well-done movie, you know. The worms were terrifying.
Well, that was actually going to be something I was going to ask you is, if you had, okay, let's say you're in a small desert town.
Okay.
And you have to fight off a series of worms. Do you feel confident? Which of these would you feel confident in defeating? The worms from Dune? The worms from Beetlejuice? Or these?
Confident in defeating?
Yes. Who do you think you could take?
Well, definitely not the worms from Dune, because those things are basically the size of the planet.
Yeah.
Also, Dune got those worms got nothing on these worms. I remember watching Dune with, you know, Chalamet.
Chalamet.
Yeah, the recent ones.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they're the worms. And I'm like, right. And I'm like, these worms are so lame. Like, Andy loves Dune.
Yeah.
I don't know about this one, but he likes the whole Dune premise and everything.
Yeah.
And because he's just like sci-fi, but. So I'm watching this, and I'm just like, where are the worms? Show me. All I want to see is the worms. You finally see the worms, and I'm like, that doesn't even look like a worm. It just looks like a giant turbine thing that lives underground. Like, boring. These things are scary. So as far as confidence goes, I think probably these, because the Beetlejuice worms are also very large, much larger than these worms.
But these worms get smarter. Like, they pick up on what you're doing, like, the tricks that you're trying to pull, how you're defeating the other ones, like, their co-conspirators or whatever.
They are smart.
The ones in Beetlejuice, what's her name there? Gina, whatever the fuck.
Gina Davis?
Gina Davis. Gina Davis ended up, like, riding one at the end of it to take on Beetlejuice. Remember? Like, she fucking crashes through the house.
Yeah, it's
I'm
so
like,
good.
I'm like, I feel like those are easier to tame. So I feel like if I had to...
But that's so cartoony and goofy. I love Beetlejuice,
I love
though.
Beetlejuice so much.
Yeah.
All right. I will go with the Beetlejuice.
You think so?
I think I could take on the problem.
The problem I have with the Beetlejuice worms is that they're large enough to eat you whole.
True.
You know, like, the worms from Tremors, more often, it's more likely that one of the tendrils would come out and bite you, and it appears that their saliva is not acid,
like an alien.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it should be acidic, but it doesn't seem to bother them, you know, because they touch it,
yeah.
And it doesn't do anything. It's like regular saliva from a giant creature. So that's fine, but if one bites you, you could still potentially get away. If the Beetlejuice worm gets you, you're just eaten whole. Although super goofy.
So, same question. You gotta take on the worms. You can only pick one person to assist you. Who are you taking, Val or Earl?
It's probably Val.
Good choice. It's a good call.
Well, he seemed to be a little bit more assertive.
True.
And that's good, you know?
Loving a good assertive man. Good assertive man who looks like Kevin Bacon.
He feels out those jeans very nicely. but to be perfectly honest,
you know what I just thought of?
What?
If I had got, like, when he tells Rhonda, like, you gotta take your pants off because, like, she's wrapped up in the barbed wire, him just being like, you gotta take your pants off, but mine are already off. Okay, I'll stop. I'm cracking myself up over here.
So, you gave me...
Sorry.
It's cool, just let it out. So child. Funny. No, I'm just kidding. Who I would rather take with me would be Reba and Bert.
True. If that was my option, I would go.
Like, if they were an option, and even if only one of them was an option,
they're both
great. I would still take the one. Yeah.
Still take one or the other, yeah.
I'm like, you know how to make homemade pipe bombs, and you have so many guns.
So much ammunition. So many rations.
They were complaining about that. 5 years of food, gone. 5 years of water, gone. And then I think it was Earl who's like, I'm going to stop making fun of your lifestyle from now on. They're like, right.
Right.
You never know.
I was going to say, those preppers are on to something.
Yeah.
So this movie, I watched it on, I have a Fandango account, so I watched it on Fandango, but I know it's on Prime.
I watched it on like, Prime, yeah.
YouTube and stuff. So is there anything else about this movie that you'd like to discuss?
I don't think so. But the problem I have with these types of monster movies is that it's super believable that that could be a thing that exists. Which makes it scarier.
Yeah. I mean, like, they still haven't discovered everything that's in the ocean. So it's like, you know.
What is it? 10% of the ocean has only been, like,
explored.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on under the water and in space that doesn't make any sense.
That it's like, oh. Like...
Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, like, you could understand, like, why hundreds of years ago, the people who lived hundreds of years ago thought that ocean monsters existed, because there's a whale, you have no idea what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what it does, or what it can do.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, it's a monster. You know? Yeah. So, like, these, like, creatures like that could exist, and just, we just haven't found them yet, which is super scary to me.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
So I took on the recipe this week, and because this movie features the incredibly fine Kevin Bacon,
my God,
I decided to do
Ashley needs to get laid. Like, Ashley needs to get laid so hard.
My business partner's going to listen to this and be like, what the fuck?
I repeat, Ashley needs to be late.
Hear that, business partner? So I did a recipe that included bacon. And so I did, it is grilled pineapple wrapped. It's basically pineapple wrapped with bacon and brown sugar. Mm. I'm trying to figure out how to like word it so it makes sense. But so what you do.
Bacon wrapped pineapple, bro.
Thank you. Sorry.
Like bacon wrapped scallops.
I'm still like losing my mind over here. My horrible sense of humor. So basically what I did is I got a pineapple, took all the gross skin off, and I cut it into spears. You can either slice it, you can cut it into chunks, however. I like spears just because like I like that I can like pick it up with a fork and eat it.
Yeah, 100%.
And what you do is you take raw bacon and you wrap it around either the pineapple cube, the slices, or the spears, and you pack it with brown sugar. So, like, I had, like, a little bowl of light brown sugar. So after I wrapped the pineapple spear with raw bacon, just kind of did, like, a little, like, twisty twist in the bowl of brown sugar, got everything coated, put a soaked toothpick in it so it doesn't catch on fire in the stove.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
And you just make sure you soak them for, like, 10 minutes so the wood doesn't catch while it's in the oven.
Yeah, it's totally normal.
You can use, I did regular bacon, but I think the next time I'll probably do, like, a thicker cut because I found that, like, when I took it out of the oven, the thinner bacon was sort of, like, flaking off a little bit.
Was it crispy?
It was crispy, yeah.
That's why. Yeah.
So thicker cut, I think, will hold it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you basically
more
just
fat in there too.
Yeah, so you just like hold the bacon in place with a soaked toothpick. You bake it at 350. I did it for like 25 to 30 minutes until it was like nice and crispy. The sugar was caramelized and the pineapple got like a little bit of a char on it. And there you go. That's
nice and simple and an excellent summer dish.
It's true.
And we are, and everybody loves pineapple.
My mom doesn't.
Oh, your mom is the worst.
like,
but make sure you watch out for that 5 to 6 foot lizard that's running around your hometown.
I was gonna say. So for those of you,
not make fun of your mom.
So, oh my god, I love my mom. My mom. So before I started recording today, my mom called me and left me a voicemail that she had heard on the news that a 5 or 6 foot lizard had escaped from an apartment complex in the town that she lives in. And I had told her I was going to be, it's so on brand for her town. I told her that I was going to come by and visit today when we were done recording because, you know, yeah. She's not far.
Yeah.
But she wanted to let me know that when, like, I pull in the driveway, just be careful in case, you know, the lizard's there.
Out of all the driveways in Webster, that's where that giant lizard's gonna be.
Honestly, though, she has like she's like a Disney princess, so like it wouldn't surprise me if the fucking
all she has to do is start humming,
yeah,
and it'll just the crawl fucking, its way over.
Yeah, like the Komodo dragon or whatever the hell's running around. It's just gonna end up on
her
lawn.
I feel like it's probably an iguana or something because they get pretty big.
Yeah, they get huge.
And iguanas, people totally have as pets.
Yeah, but she doesn't like pineapple. She's never liked. She'll make a pineapple upside down cake and then not eat it.
I was gonna say. Like, I know she's made those before. You've mentioned it.
She's really good at making pineapple upside down cake, but then she doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't eat it.
Is it like the texture? Because pineapple's got a funny texture.
It's the texture, and she doesn't really like how like acidic it tastes to her. Like it tastes like really acidic. I'm like. I love pineapple.
I mean, I don't put that shit on pizza. That is insane.
No, that's
I will
gross.
Stand, I will die on this hill saying that.
Hawaiian pizza is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's an abomination.
It is an abomination. But.
Just like Footloose.
Nothing against Kevin Bacon. But, excuse me. Other than that, pineapple and everything else, I dig. Like, yeah. Pineapple juice, oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, this literally takes, you know, five to 10 minutes to prep. 25 to 30
yeah,
minutes to bake.
Super
and,
simple.
And
super
you got a really
easy.
Good summer appetizer.
Yeah.
And you can use dark brown sugar. I prefer light. And it doesn't matter.
I use what I have.
There is a difference. I couldn't tell you what that difference is, but I use light.
I think it just has to do with color. Like, if you're looking for, like, a specific color and whatever the hell you're baking, I don't freaking know.
Yeah. But
I don't care.
I'm excited to try them. I hope that you and Andy enjoy them. And if you guys want to check out the recipe, it's super fucking simple. It's crazy simple. Just head on over to our Instagram at BakingToTheBeeMovies. I'll have that up when this episode goes live. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have another new episode and another new recipe. And I'm not going to spoil it, but I have been pushing for this movie to make it into the bracket for a few seasons now.
It's been a while. I finally did it.
We're finally doing it. And I'm going to try not to let the episode go for 2 hours, but I have so much to say about it.
I'm sure you do.
It's a true return to B-movies. It is an absolute... This is 100%. The mother of all B-movies, and
really
I can't
is.
Wait to talk about it. But Steph, I think for today, is there anything else?
I don't believe so. I think we are good to go.
All right. Well, let's go eat these appetizers. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. We hope you're all doing great out there and having a good summer so far. Again, Instagram, Baking to the Bee Movies. You can reach us directly at bakingtothebeemovies@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, follow, give us a 5-star rating, and we will see you guys in a couple of weeks. My name is Ashley.
And my name is Steph.
This has been Baking to the Bee Movies, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.